Welcome to the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, covering metaphysics, ETs, shamanism, and channeling. Here you will find spiritual inspiration from today's thought leaders, along with cutting-edge insights from our interstellar brothers and sisters and ancient shamanic wisdom. Now, here's a new episode of Dare to Dream with your host, Debbie Dashinger.
This is Dare to Dream, the go-to podcast for awakened beings ready to explore ET contact, channeling, and the ancient future shamanic path. Today's guest, Rob Gauthier, is the ET Whisperer, a world-renowned trans-channeler who's helped tens of thousands of people throughout his years of teaching, channeling, and meditation techniques. If you'd like to learn more about him, go to etwhisperer.com. And with that, I welcome back for, I think, at least a third time, Rob to Dare to Dream. It's so great to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much, Debbie. I always enjoy my time with you. I love you. I love the show. I love your people. It's a great pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. And I want to cover first how busy we all are. It's amazing right now. Everybody I know, definitely including you, getting way more recognized, like trajectory so fast, recognized for your work. What do you think is happening? Why the surge in demand and visibility for you and for your services?
Well, I've been doing this for a long time. And when anyone does something for a long time, people in that community are like, hey, this person knows what they're doing. If they stuck around this long, they've got to be doing something right. And I think that's part of it. But I also think the collective in general is opening up to this type of information. Channeling, the aspects of ET contact, consciousness, awareness, expansion of consciousness, all these different parts of my work. Even CE5s are really popular now again. So I think that's part of it. I think me being available to the public again was another part of it. I took so many years away from doing public stuff and just one-on-ones because of the family dynamic and my youngest child's health, my oldest child's health. So a lot of things were moving, and now it's just been really expansive and people are receptive. There are way, way more people in our community now than there was 5 years ago. So I think that helps too. And it's just a perfect storm for people who've been doing this long enough, like me and you have, where people are just like, hey, let's hear what they've got to say. And they keep it moving. And it's been the busiest year I've ever had by a long shot.
Yeah, no kidding. Every time, because we're also friends on social media, I'm always checking out all the countries that you're in. And I know we're doing this show and then you're leaving for Spain. And I know then Japan's again around the corner for you. Amazing, amazing. I'm so happy for you. And I'm so happy for the world, for humanity to receive this at what feels like a really important time in history that we came here to participate in. And one of the things you do is trans-channeling. And I have to say, over the years, I've come to know the beings that you channel. But when I was with you in Sedona in January, it's the first time I ever saw you switch like you did. And it was amazing to watch you allow one being to come through you. And then all of a sudden, another group of beings had an answer, specific answer, and your accent changed, your physicality changed. What is this like for you to embody all of this?
Yeah, the very first time I was dealing with it was disturbing. I couldn't watch my own videos for a long time. Seeing my body doing and saying things I had zero recollection of was pretty mm-hmm. disturbing, right? The more I did, the less that became disturbing, and the more it was just kind of weird. But it was fine, so I kept doing it. And now, the amount of different beings that I've channeled, I do feel the reflection of that energy. The experience itself was very powerful. Just knowing that I'm able to connect with all these different beings and that Trebonard have kind of helped link me to these consciousnesses. But when I hear the difference in their perspectives and ideologies and techniques and things like that that they teach, I just honestly feel very blessed to be able to be a part of it and to be able to share that information with people. And it's also because it's still kind of very different. A lot of channelers that are more popular and the ones that more people know about, there's not a lot of that happening. There might be one being that speaks mostly, and then one or two other beings that might come in for every few months or something like that. But it is different to have access to all these different types of beings. So I feel blessed. I feel excited. It's like a galactic UN in my own body. It's kind of weird, but also awesome.
That's great. That's a new mantra. Well, here you are channeling so much, thousands of ET consciousness. Was there something that was the most surprising or the most paradigm shifting message that you've ever received?
The big ones were early on. I had no understanding of metaphysics or self-creation or how the universe worked. So a lot of that happened in the first year or two. A lot of that even before I started channeling, like when I was just doing astral projections with Treb, getting to know him and learn about him. Also very early on my channeling, Treb connected me to this being who was very high dimensional being. It was like an 11th density consciousness. It's like an entire universal consciousness.
Wow.
And I'm only connecting to a very small piece of it, but it was very powerful. It created a lot of physical things that happened to me afterwards, like having nonstop visions going on for days and days. My mindset was so messed up, it was hard for me to talk or communicate. It was hard for me to string sentences together. It was just so powerful. That was a big one. But, I would say probably the last 10 years, a lot of things that come through and get shared are really unique. I've heard a lot about our galactic history. I've changed my perspective entirely on different reptilian races that most people see as just flat and evil and horrible beings. And we also learned a lot about, why humans are the way that we are and the experience of us through the history. So it's been a lot. And there's no one thing I would say that's been super crazy important, more than the rest of them in the last few years. But we keep getting more of the blanks filled from the channeling and from the history. And it does seem like in the last 4 years, especially since around 2020, 2021, the level of information that the beings are willing to share with us is increasing. Treb and Artif used to be like, no, we're not going to talk about this subject. No, we have nothing more to tell you than what you already know. And now they're starting to put those pieces out. And when I've asked them why is that happening, they're like, well, you're ready for it now. You weren't as a collective, that was not something that was accessible to you. So now it is. And it's not just my channeling, it's literally everybody's. And the reason for that is because we are expanding as an entire planet. And as we expand, we're ready for more and we're ready to kind of fill the blanks in.
Amazing. That's exciting. And I see that in the channeling world. And there have been other channelers who have given just so much information and said, sorry, that's all we can talk about. And now it's just like a river flowing. There's so much information. And yeah, I agree. We are super ready to receive this. If not now, when? So I'm grateful that the information is coming and that maybe we've ascended enough, grown enough that we can handle it and understand how to process it to help us through this and hopefully become part of the galactic community for real.
Yeah, honestly, I agree with you. I hold and share that same excitement. And, that's where it's headed. That's everything I've heard from every channeler who deals with extraterrestrials, extra dimensional beings. They're like, that's the next step, galactic neighborhood, galactic community, being a part of that. And, some channelers are like, yeah, it's literally like 2027. And other channelers have been like, yeah, it could be 2026, but it also could be, 2066. It could be, 2046. It just really depends on us as a collective. But I also see that dynamic shifting. A lot of things that are going on day to day, a lot of the world events, people are like, oh, the world's going crazy. You know, politics are as bad as ever, and people are fighting about this and that and this and that. And that's true. But also, you know, something Trev and Ardiff have always shared as we're going through the process, it has to come to a head. It has to be pushed to the surface. The collective has to look and say, hey, the way that we do politics doesn't work. The way that we do money doesn't work. The way that we do medical stuff doesn't work. Schooling, financial system. So all of these things that are really feeling weird right now, it's a collective energy pushing everyone to see how it really works so that we can say, hey, we don't like this, or hey, we like this part, but not the rest, and figure out new systems. You know, Earth can't continue on the systems we've been using for so long that suppress more people than it helps.
Agreed, 100%. I'll throw in their women, I'll throw in their children, I'll throw in their corporate greed, I'll throw in their how we use the planet as a resource and more. So I agree, and I think the big message right now, certainly that I'm giving out there, and it sounds like you and Treb are sharing, is you came here to be a light worker. It's so important right now to hold the light, not to let this illusion of darkness dissuade you from your path, and that it's part of the process. Trust the process, that on the other side of this is not total destruction. There are new choices to be made for all of us collectively and for the planet. And I really believe that's where we're headed. It gives me so much hope.
I totally agree that the new energy, the new earth, the new human, whatever you want to call it, it's all heading to better things. And it's scary because of how fast things are moving, and it's scary because things that we never thought of, or things that we've thought about just a little bit, have been ramping up and going a bit out of control. It feels like you're just kind of riding in the back seat of someone who doesn't know how to drive, and it's really weird. But it's all heading for better things. And even if things are a little tough for a little while, or pretty tough for a little while, I feel like trusting the process is very, very important. So you're not adding additional, you know, anxiety, traumas, all the things, you know, that we as humans tend to kind of just worry about. And the energy about expansion and about this new experience comes with allowance, and it comes with not pegging anything within a belief system and say, this is good, this is bad, and I can't do anything here. It's about being open to any way that you can shift into that new experience and recognizing that it can come in ways we never even thought of. And it's really important process of allowing.
And for folks who are interested, because I know channeling has become paramount right now, a lot of people are getting into it. And you teach channeling, so you're a perfect person to ask this question to. What is the most important thing to know about preparing to connect with and channel higher beings?
Yeah, it's a big topic, and there's a lot of nuance to it, and there's a lot of direct information about it. But if you're wanting to channel, or wanting to learn to channel, or you are in the process of channeling, some of the more important things are, first, channeling is a tool. Channeling is not the end all be all of all things. It's not something that you just say, oh, this person is channeling, so everything that's being said is perfect for me, and I'll listen to it like I would the Bible. You're giving your own power away. So if you're doing it for yourself, it's a lot better. Self-trust is the big hurdle. Allowing is the other big hurdle. So a lot of the times that we've taught how to channel for people, one of the first steps is understanding that you receive and accept, and it doesn't have to be right. It doesn't have to be the right answer. It doesn't have to be right for you in that moment. It's just the practicing of allowing the energy to come in, the communication to come in, and just accepting it for what it is. Then it gives you the opportunity to build on that, because learning how to channel is like a bridge. The first time you do it, you're just putting one big metal rod from one side to the other. And then you have to walk across that and then put another one down. And then you have to start putting planks down and then you have to screw the planks in. Each time you channel, you're refining the channeling. And this is why, I started publicly channeling in 2010, but you don't see any video on my channel before 2013. And that's because the first 3 years I was building my bridge. And after I really learned how to channel well, I was like, yeah, I have no idea why I was sharing all that, but I allowed it. I was excited, so I did it. Also, your higher self, the higher self is you. So learning to channel that before you start going into channeling other beings or channeling higher dimensional beings, I think is a very important process because channeling your higher self is easy. We do it all the time. We literally are doing it every day. But learning how to do that and bring it in is a really important part too. So I think all of it's important.
Yeah, that seems to me, whether it's your higher self or a higher being, and especially I like that you're suggesting we start with our higher self who we're already connected with, just the idea of getting out of the way, stopping the mind, stopping whatever wants to interfere, judge, wonder, but just to let it happen. Somebody, I think it might have been our friend Tyler Ellison, once said to me, "You know what, Debbie, just gather some friends and just tell them to ask you questions and see what happens, like in a safe environment." I thought that was a great idea.
Yeah, it's the best idea. It literally, when you feel comfortable to bring that energy in, however you're perceiving it, the question answer aspect of it with different people is really huge. It's like a lot of places on Facebook or Skype groups used to have these places where everyone would meet up. Now people are doing it on Zoom or Facebook groups or whatever, and people meet up and they just practice channeling with each other. That's absolutely the best way to do it because you're giving the opportunity for another consciousness to be a part of your connection to another consciousness. When you're thinking of questions and like, oh, I want to channel, you'll always say, well, did I know the answer or not? Why, maybe that's why I asked the question. But when you do it with other people and they can give you feedback in real time, it really builds the trust way faster than it could with yourself. But also, the more consciousness is focused on one task, the better it manifests always. Even the Bible says two or more gathered together, for prayer and blah, blah, blah. So it is, it's a very good thing. And I agree with Tyler wholeheartedly there.
Yeah, I have such a funny story listening to you. I haven't thought of this story in so long. 8 or so years ago, so before I believed in UFOs and ETs, before I had this big, interesting awakening in my life that has completely changed my path, I was still doing podcasting. I was still doing radio, but I was in media. I was a book writing coach. I was helping people with publicity. And on one of my shows, James Van Praagh was on the Psychic Medium. He's amazing. He's such a beautiful man. And when we were done, we sort of fell in love with each other. And he said, "I'd love to have you on my show." And he's on Hay House Radio. I went on his show and we were talking about books and all things interesting. Now, unbeknownst to me, he surprised me. And he said, while on air, "Debbie, this is the time when we take listener calls, and I'm going to be giving them readings, and I'd like you to do that with me." Rob, I freaked out. I was like, I don't know what to say to these people. I was an actor, I was a professional actress in my former life, and I know there's one answer, and the answer is yes, and. And so I went, okay. Dude, I was so panicked with these people calling with really serious situations and just trying to trust. 8 years later today, I would do such a better job of aligning with whatever information came through. But then, I mean, the truth is, I was scrambling in that show, just like whatever I could access to come in and just hoping beyond hope, please let me give them something that will serve them. But he really shocked me when he said that. And frankly, that he even trusted me to do that without telling me beforehand. So I love what you're saying because It's completely different now. And I think if we use these tools and if we were prepared, we'd have a very good outcome.
I love that story, and I don't know. I think you said his name is James, right? I've heard his name
James Van
before.
Praagh.
Yeah, I've heard his name, and I might have even heard him speak a few times. But that would be a very that would be a very jarring experience, I'm sure, because I know he's very well known in his arena too. So I'm sure the show is pretty large and intimidating too to be on in general. So.
Oh, yeah, hundreds of thousands of people. Thank you, James.
Thank
All right. Well, this is our mid-show quick pause, my friends. I want to invite you deeper into this work. This podcast is sponsored by Dr. Dane here and Access Consciousness. They do energy work out into the world. If you'd like to become a facilitator or take one of their classes, go to Dr. Dane here, HEER.com, and register there. And I've got something very special for you. If you'd like to get your free starseed video and report, learn your galactic ancestry. My gift to you, your galactic origins. Go to debbiedashinger.com/starseed, Debbie with an I, Dachinger with a C. So it's debbiedashinger.com/starseed. And if you are ready for profound personal transformation, I have been doing these monthly galactic shamanic healing sessions. They are 90 minutes. I've had people all over the world signing up, and it is such beautiful, powerful clearings, activations, and soul alignment. It's perfect for right now to help everybody get through these times, release what doesn't serve, bring in what you're really here for. You can sign up now for next month, the next month, and the next month at debbiedashinger.com/healing. All of this, by the way, is in the show notes and in the description. Plus, upcoming, the adventure of a lifetime, March 2026, we are sailing aboard the Celebrity Cruise Line Mystery School at Sea. I'm speaking on this cruise as well, going to Greece and Turkey, 10 days at sea. I can't wait. We are docking and landing and going to Delphi and these amazing mystery school sites, doing this work all together. Everything's included, the presentations, the food, your cabin, etc. It is so worthwhile, and we get to spend really quality time together. Go to Mystery School at Sea, SEA, mysteryschoolatsea.com, and be sure under referral to click on Debbie Dashinger. And our guest today, Rob Gauthier, is hosting the next channel panel. This time it is in West Virginia. It's in November, and you can get your tickets right now. If you look at the website, wow, what a lineup! What a lineup! And a lot of those channelers have already been on this show, so you know them. You can go to debbiedashinger.com/channel panel. Rob and I will talk about that a little bit towards the end of the show. And finally, if this conversation is sparking something inside of you, and especially because Rob is going to start channeling next, please share it with just one person, somebody who's going to benefit, because your support by subscribing, by commenting, by liking, by sharing helps us reach way more star seeds and light workers around the globe who are looking for information like this. Okay. I'm bringing Rob Gauthier back to the show now. And Rob, let us know, what is there anything we need to know as you get prepared to start channeling?
I'm going to probably bring in Ardif first. Ardif is a sixth density Pleiadian being. They actually live in the star system Deneb, but they call them the ancient Pleiadians because that's where they used to live. If you've never heard me channel him before, it's a little funny. He has an English accent, and people think that's funny. Extraterrestrials do that, but there's actually a reason why that happened. And the short story long is when I first channeled him, Treb channeled him first, And then we transcribed it and created a book. And it was the most profound 20 pages of the book. And when I went to find the recording, I couldn't find it. So all I had was the transcript. And I took that and put it through the only text-to-talk program that sounded somewhat human back in 2012, and that was English Peter. So this British accent was doing Ardiff's voice. And then when I finally got to connect to Ardiff directly, he came through like that. And when I asked Treb, why does he sound like that? He's like, well, it was the first time he was introduced to the Earth Collective at this time, and he didn't want to disconnect from the initial meeting energy. So I was like, oh my word. So that's why he does that. And it's weird. But his information's really great. And it just takes me about 45 seconds or so to kind of sink into that energy and get into trance. And then he'll be right there.
Okay, beautiful. And so, folks, especially who are on YouTube or Spotify or Rumble, any of the video-based interview sites for Dare to Dream, you'll get to see Rob as he actually goes through this. And we're ready.
Greetings to all Sardiff, that is Ardiff, and this is it spelled. We understand all of you desire to integrate deeper levels of understanding as a part of our co-creation, and of course, we will take those queries. But before diving in to those queries, there are two things that we wish to express. The first, above and beyond all things that are expressed in this day, to know, to feel, and to perceive that you are loved in our perspective is of the utmost importance. And when we express that you are loved, this is much different than the form of love that humans understand, such as I love you. Now, of course, when I love you is expressed, this is two separate and segregated beings sharing an emotion that they perceive as love and connection. But when you are loved, it simply implies that the entirety of the universe is created from that love, that beings that exist within your own oversoul, soul guides, star family, beings that have passed which were human, are around you, and of course, give that love to you, whether you know that love exists or not. You are loved as long as you are able to receive that love. Secondly, this is truly our greatest excitement to be here with all of you in this day, not only in this moment, but throughout all moments of time in linear co-creation. And of course, greetings to Debbie as well.
Oh, thank you so much. And I love you too. And I appreciate all the wisdom you've shared over the years. I want to start, Treb, with this question. From your perspective, what is the single most important shift that humanity can make right now to align with our highest collective destiny? And how can each individual begin living that shift today?
Yes, of course, the answer for the first question is, of course, the same answer to the second question, and that is learning to be your truest form and self. And what we mean by this is that many humans condition themselves to not truly be themselves. They are themselves in moments, yet will share different consciousnesses with different humans, depending on what that relationship requires, depending on what the acceptance factor is for their loved one, for society, for their working group, or whatever co-creation at that moment they are part of. But when you learn to let go of what you perceive others require from you, when you learn to act deeply and truly within your own excitements, when you learn to act in every moment that you hold an excitement, then you are able to be yourself. When you stop co-creating at a level of expectations or self-regulate your behavior due to others' expectations, then of course You can be a true form of yourself. Now you understand when we say being your true self, humans project many things upon that as well. Humans in some ways perceive that when you are feeling negative or bad or angry, that you are not truly being yourself. We do not imply this at all. It is important for humans to go through their emotional experiences and do as greatly as possible not to judge themselves in those moments of co-creation. So when an experience comes to you and it is out of alignment and it doesn't feel good, it is important to be sad, important to be mad, important to be frustrated in that very moment. The only thing that's required to grow and expand is to then understand the purpose of that emotion, the purpose for that experience of being and feeling out of alignment. And when you can share, both internally and externally, with yourself and others, the reason why it was out of alignment in this moment. And this had to do with A and B and C, then of course, you have learned to be yourself. And of course, the implications of being yourself is not simply that you will live a better life. It is truly being the vibration of your core self that spreads to others as a wildfire of energy, motivating others to do the same, motivating others to act on their own excitements and to be their true self. And if every human works within that frame and reference, then of course the entirety of the earth will experience growth together as well as in individual roles.
I love that, the wildfire. I want to ask you about sickness.
Yes, of course. And what about sickness do you desire to understand more deeply?
When people or animals become sick, you know, seriously sick, cancer, arthritis, ALS, all of it, there is, now, this is my point of view, to be clear. I feel that there is a lot of metaphysical finger pointing. This happened because of that, or your mother, or your thoughts, or you need to clean up your beliefs. What is sickness? Is it a cigar, meaning it just happened? Is it a soul's choice to add a sickness to their life's experience? Is it genetics? Is it the thoughts and the beliefs, and that can cure it? Is it an amalgam of all of those things? That feels like such an important conversation to me, because I've heard so much out there, and I would really love you to clear that up.
Yes, first of all, there are two reasons that humans are sick in a metaphysical sense. Yes, thoughts. Yes, being out of alignment with your true self. Yes, radiating vibration that is truly out of alignment with your thought processes, with your emotional reactivity, with your resistances. And yes, this is one reason that humans are sick in an energetic understanding. The second is that yes, humans do create illnesses from the soul level, what we would call contractually creating illnesses so that they're able to have the experiences of illness, so that they're limiting their life to certain degrees, so that they can feel the experience of going through whatever specific illness that is desired. Now, this is the reason from that very soul level, but physically, the creation of that illness can take place in several ways, one of them being genetics, one of them being passed down traumas, others being collective and stored traumas from that experience itself, others can be through genetic trauma or epigenetics. Well, ancestral trauma is handed down. There are quite infinite ways for the physical body to be sick, all of the way from environmental changes and toxins, all of the way to simple, repetitive, negative thoughts and emotions, lessening the body's ability for the immune system to fight. That specific virus, specific illness, or whichever means that the human is falling into that illness. So it is both, just because the soul creates from that level does not mean that the physical part of that experience is not responsible as an activation for the desired outcome or from that resistance building up in the emotional and energetic level.
It's very interesting to me because animals also get sick, and I don't know how much their feelings sometimes get involved, or if it is their body or their soul, etc. But I just I guess I'm interested in something that's very loving and compassionate, very accepting of the situation. And how do we find our way, whether we say, this is the soul, this is the way it is, and to just love the situation as it is? And how do we know this is something that really needs to be addressed and it's at a deeper level that needs to be healed?
Yes, of course. First of all, whenever illness comes into your experience, it is meant to show you something. Even if what it is showing you is to shift and change your behavior, your reactivity, your thought processes, or to divert the experience of your life into a new trajectory. Now, in that experience, both are equally important to pay attention to. Both are very important to understand and accept in that moment. Both are important. Now, there are two frequent and most common reactions from humans when entering levels of illness and sickness, and that is either giving up, saying to yourself, I found out that I have term illness that will not go away, that terminal illness that stays until death, and then that person gives up the hope, gives up the capacity to let go, allows only the fear or acceptance to let the course finish into the death. Others are reactive to express a desire to stay longer. The soul will not stay longer. Then what the entire soul contract, what the entire soul experience will dictate. So in that way, it is already a predetermined outcome from the layer of your own consciousness. For example, when you express that concept internally that I am fighting this illness, that I will take it into my own hands, yes, you can shift that energy. Yes, you can get rid of resistances, retrain the thoughts, retrain the reactivity that you hold. But in that way, the soul already understood that this would be your reaction. It understood that this would be an experience that would shift you towards wellness rather than illness or death. So, in that way, it is already understood as a soul. You will ultimately decide when that life is over. So, either direction that you are going, a pure, true acceptance. That trusting your instincts and your reaction to the knowledge of your illness is also of vital importance.
Wow, that is very helpful. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, of course.
I understand that the ocean is deeper than we know, and that there are ancient sites and cities, at the bottom of the ocean. Tell me about those. Which ones, which species exist in the bottom of the ocean, and where?
Yes, first of all, you are correct. There are multitudes of bases in that way that are underneath water's surface, some that are in areas that are known well, some that are even inland fresh water, lakes that are large. The concept of your Great Lakes, the concept of Lake Fatal. The concepts of these larger inward body seas underneath cavernous regions. These exist in multitudes. Some of these are earth reptilian in nature. Some are amphibian races that are Saurian in nature. Some are grey in nature. And they are spread and changing throughout the earth. For example, in the region that is known as Lake Superior, the majority of UFOs that are perceived in that way are from humans that have already mastered certain technologies. So of course, they will use that region. But there are also caverns within Earth reptilians that have used that place. Now, humans react to the UFOs in that region as either very bad feeling, very evil vibrations they feel in their stomach, all very positive and good. And that, of course, is because Earth reptilians, being from Earth, hold both positive and negative vibrational frequencies. There are different versions of reptilians upon Earth, just as there are different types of humans upon Earth. Those that are loving, those that are not. Now, going to the ocean expands this exponentially. There are higher dimensional races that are part of Earth and are part of that expansion, similar to the Earth reptilian beings. These are elemental collective beings, water collective consciousnesses, manifesting physical attributes similar to your mermen and merwomen. The concept itself of elves, the concept of Sasquatch, the concept of all of these earthly-based higher dimensional beings exist, some of them in the cavernous water regions. Now, when you are looking to your past, cities that have sunk into the bottom of the ocean, parts of the Atlantean, Lumerian consciousnesses, part of early Earth after Anunnaki co-creation. These regions of Mu that are spoken of in your history, some of these exist. And within the next 5 years, and within the last 3 years, more humans are finding these remains. Some of them will be visited by naturally occurring water dwelling beings, such as amphibian consciousness, such as those that exist with UFOs and entire bases in that region. They are quite literally all across Earth. Most of them are in higher dimensional standards, and even if you take your submarines with cameras to these regions, you would not be able to photograph, because they are existing in a higher dimensional standard.
Incredible. I wonder if they are in water because it is in a depth that we're not aware of, so they're safe. Or does the water protect them from the sun radiation? Do they need pressure? Is water a good container, or they stay out of the way? Why water?
Yes, for the majority of these beings, it is simply for hiding from human consciousness. And the more adaptive human technologies become, the further down or the deeper the caverns that they experience are created and grown outward. So this entire expression is mostly for that reason. Now, some of the aquatic beings simply prefer
to be in water regions and enjoy the fact that it covers a great deal of their own experience and existence from humans, but still, most of these beings exist in higher dimensions, so hiding from humans' eyes is not as important as hiding from psychic humans. The water between the surface and the depths where they are experiencing hold enough vibration, as water records vibration similar to crystals in that way, that human psychics are not able to perceive them as well.
Oh, okay. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. What would the psychics do, do they feel, if they knew or were aware of them? Would they perceive them? Would they try to engage with them? Would they call them out? What's the problem?
Yes, of course, in that way it is simply to not be perceived by any human, understanding and knowing that humans are naturally psychic. They're not worried specifically about any certain psychic or group, but they understand the potentiality of human psychic consciousness being able to understand and tap in. Now, those that are Earth reptilian, these beings hold deep levels of trauma from previous experiences with humans. Therefore, many of them simply don't trust humans in that way. But other beings simply don't wish to share or interfere with their vibration as it pertains to the Earth Collective. If you understood that 10,000 higher dimension beings could share one place within your Earth and shift the local vibrational frequency and the grid system that attaches human consciousness to other human consciousness, it would interfere deeply with the way that Earth works, the way that humans feel one another. So, of course, in their own mind, they do not wish to hold levels of interference with them as well.
Interesting. You know, a friend of Rob's and mine, Wendy Kennedy, who's also a channel, had explained that DNA is a holographic and fractal entity that contains information about the universe. She said this while on my show, and then, of course, I got very curious. Do you agree with that? And if so, what is that information? What does my DNA, anybody's DNA, tell you about the universe?
Yes, first of all, we do resonate with this construct, and we understand the implications that it holds. The energy for DNA is, of course, that fractalized energy expressed through a matrix form projection, but also the concept of DNA being visible and participating in its physical expression. This is also a signal that helps the non-physical consciousness interact and work with the physical realms. This is how most of your soul is not anchored into your body. Most humans at the highest percentage have only 20% of their soul anchored into their body. And these humans you would perceive as deeply enlightened. The archetypes of Jesus Christ, the archetypes of Buddha, these entities would hold 20%. Most humans hold less than 10%. Most enlightened, kind, or loving beings, as you would perceive, hold 12 to 15% embodied. Where does the rest of their soul exist? This is the higher self. So the higher self must be able to communicate to that lower fractal consciousness. The DNA is a part of this. The DNA also holds codes from the native region that you are born. All of you, physically, are born upon Earth. The vibration of the entity that is the Earth. The collective consciousness that is the sum total of every soul that ever has, that ever does, or that ever will inhabit Earth is the entire Earth collective. That vibration frequency is implanted into the DNA. Solar system codes are given into that DNA. You live around your sun. That sun is tied to the Earth. Both codes are given. The solar system is in that shared Milky Way galaxy. This is where we live as well. The Milky Way galaxy is a code within that DNA. This is the same coding that we share with you, despite the fact that we are different archetypal physicality, the fact that we are from a different region entirely, star system, planet, etc., and the fact that we are 16th or 7th dimensional in our physical structure, still we share that Milky Way DNA. And of course, the entirety of the universe is encoded in this as well. This is what allows human consciousness to connect to Earth. It is what allows humans to connect to Earth in order to communicate and connect to other human beings. This is what allows humans to communicate with other beings in their own solar system, Venusian consciousness, Martian consciousness, the raw collective being that of Arcturian consciousness mixed with Venusian consciousness. And it also is the same tool that allows you co-creation with other races that are also embedded in your DNA. Arcturian races, Sirian races, Pleiadian races, Andromedan races, Reptilian races, all are sharing the same galactic DNA. And their DNA was compatible with splicing into the human DNA in order to allow an initial co-creation. The more that this is merged together, the more apt that you are to be able to use your DNA as a communication from the soul level to your physical body as well.
Amazing. You know, it's reminding me as you speak of there's something called the Human Genome Project, and there's all these amazing scientists. And what they do is look at genetics, they look at DNA. And these scientists have come back and said that when you get down to the micro of our DNA, what they're perceiving is mathematical equations as well as pictographs. Pictures, basically hieroglyphs inside, which they determine is somewhat of a satellite or a communication device. Is that part of what you're referring to when you talk about our connection with all these different species? I also want to say, off to the side, I understand we have genetics from thousands of species across the cosmos, but specifically, I am curious about this mathematical equation, if it exists, and what else is inherent in our DNA like that.
Yes, now we are unaware of what these scientists have found in that way. Rob himself has not looked into this concept, therefore, we only feel the energy that you are sharing, and the way that you are understanding that energy shows us a projection. Now, from what we do understand of this expression, yes, this encodement that is perceived, the equations and glyphs that are perceived are in fact part of the communicative ability of that DNA structure. DNA is genetics. DNA is the imprint of all things that are connected and are able to connect to that physical structure, the cellular structure, and of course to the entire organs and the entity who encases those organs. And this experience, yes, is deeply integrated to communication capacity. This is how this universal structure is built for physical bodies. to encompass certain levels of non-physical energy. Whereas when we shared, humans often average 10, 12, 15% our own physicality in a higher density and dimension encompasses 90%. Yet 10% still is not integrated so that we are able to have a higher self as well, understanding that the physical body is required to communicate with non-physical essence of the physical soul shows you the importance of these structures that are within the DNA for communication as well.
Amazing. Thank you, Treb, so much for spending time with us and for your wisdom and for your insights. Always so appreciated.
Yes, of course. We also wish to express that as you are asking queries, these are parts of your consciousness that you had not perceived previously. This is why you are asking the question to see and feel and receive a new answer. So when we are reading your energy for that co-creation, we see those parts of you that we have never perceived previously. And as we are seeing parts of you that we have not perceived, it allows us to perceive parts of us that we have never perceived previously. We are growing as you are growing. Asking questions allows you the growth. Hearing answers allows you the growth. Exploring our consciousness allows you growth. And we are growing by perceiving those parts as well. We congratulate all of you for the growth you are having, and we thank you for the growth you have given us in co-creation as well.
Very grateful for this exchange. And as Treb is slowly leaving and Rob is gently coming back, I'm just going to speak over this to give him a few moments to be in his body and drink some water. And I want to let folks know he's also a producer of events. He has got something coming up called the Channel Panel West Virginia. So you can go to the East Coast. It's November 14th through the 16th. And I am telling you, the world's most respected channelers are all going to be in the Blue Ridge Mountains together for a weekend of guidance, of workshops, of community. And the conference is going to include, obviously, Rob, who's the host of this event, also Daryl Anka, Ann Bashar, Wendy Kennedy, Jamie Price, Vita Kukulhoff, Pamela Arilan, J.J. Brighton, Georgia Jean, and Marilyn Harper. Oh my God, the channelers of channelers. Reuben Langdon's going to be there, also Neil Gore. It's going to be amazing. And if you would like to get your tickets, and I highly recommend you do before they get sold out, go to debbiedashinger.com/channelpanel and go see Rob and all these other phenomenal folks. I can tell you the way that Rob runs these is not just that you receive the phenomenal information, but you actually get to ask questions of these channelers. So it's a very profound experience. All right, Rob, well, welcome back. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Sounds like everything went well. Thank you for sharing about the channel panel too. I know you're always very excited for these, and so am I. And you know, the last one we did in January was amazing, and your presentation was out of control good, and your workshop was amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, yeah, no, you put on a great event. And I think the one thing we all walked away, and I do a lot of these events, is your event is so heart-based and it's palpable, very different than other events. But there is a way of really making community and establishing connection that's different, and I think it's because it's your event.
I really appreciate that, and that's always my hope, is to bring people together and connect over some, you know, like, this is a shared excitement for channeling. So this is like my number one passion in life, is channeling and bringing community together is another big one. So it comes very easy, and I appreciate the compliment. I try to keep a very open heart and I try to keep a very accepting heart. And I'm glad to hear that that kind of projects into the event.
Yes, it does. I told folks about it, but will you give a glimpse from your perspective of what they can expect?
Yeah, so this year in November, we plan to do it in the Blue Ridge Mountains because there's a lot of mystical energy there in the Blue Ridge Mountains. It's also a place with a lot of repetitive traditions that have happened there with the Cherokee people. It's a very powerful vortex of energy. Also a big place for Sasquatch, UFOs, different higher dimensional beings that are kind of in the same class as Bigfoot. Mothman was something that was there, and I actually channeled Mothman once, which is fascinating. It's not the story I thought it was, but so all of these different energies exist there, and we wanted to kind of anchor in some powerful channeling higher dimensional energy into an already powerful vortex, just like we did with Sedona in January. So it's also one of the most beautiful places in all of Appalachia, West Virginia, especially in the Princeton area that we're in, close to Beckley. It's absolutely beautiful. And we've got some of the best channelers in the world. We have all those names that you shared, and it's a really powerful thing. We have all these people doing channelings for themselves on the big stage for 3 days. If you purchase a 3-day ticket, you get access to all the channelers for all 3 days. And then workshops are for more smaller groups, one-on-one time with the channelers. One thing I notice, and also, as a part of the 3-day, we're doing two panels, and we're just getting ready to announce that publicly. One of them for the hour-long panel is going to be myself, Wendy Kennedy, and Jamie Price, and then we're going to have 5 to 8 other channelers in 90 minutes on the second panel on the last evening, and then we close out the event with a contact event. So it's a very powerful experience, and when you have a bunch of channelers in one place at one time, it's different than any experience you've ever had. I've only ever done multiple channeler events like that. We started doing that a long time ago, like 2015 was the first in-person one. And then after that, I had done events where only maybe one or two channelers come. And they're good events, they're just different. The energy of all the channelers being in one place at one time is just really powerful. So, yeah, if you love channeling, it's a must-see. You can buy 3-day tickets, or you can buy streaming. If you can't make it to West Virginia, we have streaming, but only for the 3 days, not for the workshops.
Amazing. And so, folks who want to find you specifically, you can go to etwhisper.com.
Yep.
Thank you so much for the beautiful work you do and for your generosity and for Treb coming to spend time with us. I really appreciate it. I love getting all these unending questions answered. And it is so edifying, but also such a beautiful experience for me to have a place to go. And that's one attagirl. I want to say is that I created a life where this is possible to have this level of conversation that feels very advanced. So thank you.
Thank you for having me on. I always love being here, and I love you very much, and I appreciate you having this time of exchange with me.
Yeah, I love you too, Rob, so much. And I end today's show with this quote, channeled by Rob through Treb. If you follow your heart is connected directly to your higher self and your soul knows better than anyone for you. It knows better than the wisest or longest living entity in this universe because it is you. It is part of you and it is what you need. So follow the heart and you will never be led wrong. This has been Dare to Dream for curious souls connecting with extraterrestrial life, higher dimensions, and ancient shamanic wisdom. Subscribe to this number one transformation conversation, leave a comment, and share. And next week on the show, I'm speaking with the amazing Wendy Kennedy. She's back for, I think, her fifth time on the show, and she channels the ninth dimensional, her fifth time in the show, but she channels the ninth dimensional Pleiadian collective, affectionately known as the Peas. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. Leave your comments. I can't wait to read them.
Thanks for joining us this week on Dare to Dream. Make sure to visit our website, debbiedashinger.com. That's DEBBIDACHINGER. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube and all major podcast sites, so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this program, we'd appreciate a like and comment, or tell a friend about the podcast. That will help us out as well. And if you like this conversation, you might want to check out Debbie's shamanic healing programs. And Debbie is available for coaching to write your book, and her company takes your finished book to guaranteed international bestseller. Be sure to subscribe for our next episode of Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, your number one transformation conversation.